Welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. A day, drumroll please, 140, which means 20 weeks. And we're still in lockdown. In fact, it's getting worse by the minute in the UK. Only if you're of a certain age, however. There is talk, which means it's true, the government are just trying to take the temperature of reactions to this, that if you're over 50, you're going to have to shield. Because the little kiddies need to go back to school in September. Little blighters. But never mind. Where's he gone? I'm actually getting quite used to it. 10 COVID cycles. Oh, my word. It's actually true. Anyway, thank you, Kim, and happy 154 to you. Hello, Jonathan. What's for dinner? Let me know. Hello, Paul. How are you doing down under? We've had news coming from Australia about Melbourne, but things are not good and they're queuing for food again. So it is a little bit like Groundhog Day. It's like probably 18 weeks ago, all over again. Just saying. Hello, Anthony. How are you? Anyway, I have a little something to share with you. It's tech related and it's sort of COVID related in a way. Teriyaki vegan burgers. Oh, sounds nice. This is what every self-respecting online virtual conference person needs, apparently. Now, who's seen those Bluetooth speakers? The ones that are not the long oblongy ones, but the ones are much more portable. They're like circular, and they're like a dome. No, not really a dome shape. They narrow at the bottom and then like bulge out a bit and then go narrower at the top. And they're probably about 3 inches tall. They're really inexpensive these days. I think I've got like a... No, I moved it. But I had a silver one. And sometimes they've got fabric on them. So think that. And then make it bigger. But this isn't just bigger. This is just bigger and scarier, I found. Freaked me out. Jonathan, when are you getting one for work? It looks exactly the same as my Bluetooth speaker, but about 80% taller. And what's freaking me out is the eyes. It's just scary. It's called the owl, the meeting owl. Who doesn't want a meeting owl? I don't. I can imagine sitting here about 2 o'clock in the morning, working nights as I do, and looking at that. Oh, that would freak me out. Totally freak me out. Yes, there was a slight matter of the price as well, Jonathan. How tall is that thing? It, like I say, it's about 80% taller than the small one that I'm talking about that's just a speaker. But seriously, oh my word. It's big. Yeah, it is bigger, isn't it? But that would just be scary sat on your desk with those eyes looking at you. I swear, if they put eyes on the HomePod or the Echo devices, no one would ever buy one. There is 5 monthly payments though, Jonathan, you know, if you were really desperate. Right, what's the height of it? Probably around the 10 inch mark. You know, if they stuck some feathers on it and it looked quite nice, but that's a scary owl. Kiva might attack it. That might do us all a favour, Kim. You can get £2 off if you get the Amazon No Rush reward. That's going to make all the difference, isn't it, Jonathan? I totally agree with you, Anthony. It's nothing short of terrifying, that. On by request last night, it was comical. Joe normally goes to bed really early. And really late on, I think in the last hour, Joe came on and we were like, whoa, thought Joe was in bed. Joe had been watching the Day of the Triffids. And couldn't sleep because they're on holiday down in Exeter and they're in a cottage. And there was leaves tapping on the window and having just watched the Day of the Triffids. Made me laugh anyway. But can you imagine looking at that? That would be more terrifying than Triffids. who's in a rush these days? That's a good point. Oh, actually, Kim, I can give you an example where I did actually deliberately choose get it to me as fast as. Now, was it during... Yes, it was. Do you remember during Marooned last night? I said, oh, darn it. And my glasses had broken. And I was then frantically looking round for another pair. Well, I got all scientific about it later. Oh, indeed. I'm looking at them and I wear different strengths depending on what I'm doing. So I thought, you know, do I get the ones that I usually get? Because the problem is I can't tell them apart. And then I thought I could get different styles for different strengths. And then I thought, why don't you just colour code them, woman? So I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, I'll probably wear those more. So I'll get the really dark blue ones. Black being like, you know, a bit Austin Powers. So I looked at them and they couldn't get those there till Monday. So I looked at the other colours and one was red. And I thought, right, well, I've got brown that are the least strong ones that I use. And I could use red and blue and grey. So I've ended up with some rather snazzy red glasses today. And I said, get them to me ASAP because I can't see a thing. So I was in a rush for that. Glasses do qualify. I couldn't see. Oh, it's shocking. My eyes are very, very strange. Even if I went to an optician and got like Mike does, he's worn glasses since forever, and got like a proper pair with varifocals. My eyes seem to change week by week. So I just swap glasses when it's like, that's a bit blurry. You know, I'll swap the glasses. And then it's like, whoa, that's bending, which means they're too strong. Then I take them off and put the other ones on. But yeah, definitely needed these today. Shouldn't have snapped the other ones in two, but they kind of just fell apart in my hands. All right, let's get back up here. CQ, Deb, CQ. Melbourne went full curfew last night. They don't know. They don't know where a lot of the infections are coming from. That's pretty much where we're in. Mind you, when you see all the idiots who are meandering around going to raves, you kind of begin to understand it. Just saying. Maybe not having raves. It's just asking to be redecorated. It needs feathers. That is what it needs. You know those ones you see, dead cats they're called, that go on microphones? It needs feathers and little wings. If you're going to call something the meeting owl. Anyway, Amazon suggested that for me, which I thought was very kind of it. I thought, oh, yeah, video conferencing, let's have a look at it. And then I thought, oh my word, no. And full 360 degrees as well. Fabulous. Rather unfortunate shape. It's not the shape that freaked me out. It was the eyes. I mean, fair due to them, it does actually look like an owl. You know, I presume the cameras actually do look like owl eyes. And then to put that like bit down the middle, the black bit that actually says owl, that then looks like its beak. It's just scary. It's too scary for me. It turns to look at who's speaking. Anthony, I'm sorry, that would just be me gone. You know, technology is a wonderful thing. You know I couldn't live without it. But seriously, why does everything have to be turned into like, I wouldn't even say a toy. I'd be much happier with that if it just looked like a camera, rather than try and decorate it to make it more friendly. Because it's not more friendly. It's scary. Oh, dear. Best girlfriend, husband tested positive. Oh, no. Got it from their son. Luckily, she tested negative. He's not allowed out of the guest bedroom. Oh, that is so bad. I must admit, I have thought about that here. You know, what happens if one of us got it? We only have one bedroom. That's because we have offices and studios in the other bedrooms. It's not that we live in a one-bedroom house. Oh, no, there'd be plenty of bedrooms if they had beds in. I think the only thing we'd be able to do, there is a sofa in the front room, but it's only a two-seater. So my mum did sleep on it once, But she was only tiny. And I'm 5 foot ten. Mike's about 5 foot nine. So, yeah, probably not the best idea trying to sleep on that. We have another one in the extension, but again, it's only a two-seater. But that one's kind of shallower, so you might be able to do something with cushions on that one. But it would be incredibly bad news. However, if this shielding comes in, we've had to look up shielding. Because Mike and I were not in the shielding category, we weren't old enough. Now they're suggesting, and what the government seemed to do, I don't know if this happens in the States, or if the Don just tweets it and then it's law. But over here, what repeatedly seems to happen is a story will come out in one of the newspapers, or possibly that Laura Kunzberg on the BBC, who drives me insane. And it'll be like quite, you know, the story will be delivered with histrionics attached and quite frankly, hysterical. And this time it's about the shielding. And then what they seem to do is the government, like, watching the reaction of people. And if it's like, no, whatever, you know, then they know they can do it and they know they can push more. But if the reaction's like absolutely horrified, then they'll rein themselves in a bit and they can legitimately say, we never said that, because they didn't. You know, it was an off-the-record briefing, which has been reported, and they're using it as a test bed. It's like a litmus test, seriously. So the latest is there is a suggestion, although they've not actually said it, which means they have, but unofficially. There is a suggestion that those over 50 will need to shield. So I thought, fair enough. Yeah. If we go off my Facebook age, that's fine. Not 50 on there. But what exactly does shielding entail? And the biggest question Mike and I had was, can we walk Lola? And the answer to that is no. You are not allowed out of the house to walk your dog or otherwise. So if anybody asks, Mike and I are early 40s, aren't we, Mike?
Yes.
So we can get out of the house to walk the dog.
50's the new 40.
Yes, 50's the new 40. Well, I've always said that. I said that when I was 50. Which, obviously, I'm not. No. Early 40s. Not even old enough to be Jonathan's mother. That's how young I am. If anybody asks. Thing is, you know, if you can't go out the door and you can't take your dog, what's going to happen with your dog? Well, somebody else is going to have to walk the dog. Isn't it more dangerous to hand your dog over to somebody who's younger? Because now we know that animals can carry it. So why don't we just walk the dog and be done? I said to Mike, it's a good job we look so young. Well, you know, Rachel was 34 at the time. So she said she thought I was about a year older than her. And at the time I was 49. So she knocked 15 years off. So that's fair enough. And Kath was absolutely mortified when she said, but this says 50 and you're not 50. Wasn't it your 40th? Yes, Kath, yes. Actually, you know, I would have got away with that. Because on Kerry's 50th, people gave her balloons with 60 on, didn't they?
Did they?
Bit of a gag gift.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I could maybe have said, oh, it was a gag. You know, the 50 cards, they were a gag because it was only 40. And plus the fact, Facebook think I'm only 40. Which is interesting. What did Facebook make of the pictures of the 50th birthday? I wonder. Mind you, Facebook can't even recognise me in a photo at the minute, so I'm quite happy about that. Mind you, the only photos I think that are on Facebook of me was me in the Darth Vader outfit. So, no, it didn't recognise me. But given the fact it was pitch black and there was a purple cast, what terrified me was it recognised Chidge, Nina and Rachel, Kath and Joe. Now, Chidge was dressed as Obi-Wan Kenobi and it still recognised him. Nina had she was Princess Leia with the wig on and it still recognised her. Rachel was dressed as a boy and it recognised her. Joe is bald. This must be understood for anything to have any meaning. Completely bald. And he had a wig on and it recognised him. He had like a, it was a bit like a Beatles wig, wasn't it? And it recognised him. Kath was dressed up as Queen Nefertiti or somebody. I don't know. No, a Star Wars
I can
thing.
I couldn't tell you that one.
Yeah, red outfit with this, like, crown thing on. But it was really tall. So it went on her head and it stood up from her head about 18 inches. All intricate, quite Japanese-y. And it said, do you want to mark Kath Morris in this photo? And I'm like, how does it know? You know, we were looking at the photos and thinking, is that Joe? Put Facebook straight there. So when we looked at the Stormtrooper and Darth Vader and it didn't have a clue, I said, I'm quite happy now. Happy now. Oh, dear. Right, let me catch up on here. Those with transplants having treatments for cancer were originally told to do it. Indeed, that finished, I believe, yesterday. But they've done a survey of people who fall into that category. So people with transplants, people having treatments for cancer and other really serious diseases who were told to shield, and asked them, would they now be confident going out? And 80% said, not on your life. So people are not leaving the house at the moment. I honestly don't know if they would come back, Jonathan. I don't think so. I think the government now would basically leave that to, you know, helping your neighbours out. Which, the way it works in the UK, I don't know about anywhere else. But when we moved into this house, which was 1979, there were 1, 2, 3, 4... There were 5 out of 8 houses that had children. Of school age. Most of the kids were between... I was 12 when we moved in, so I would say they were between 10 and 18. So over half the houses had children. And then obviously as years go by, people didn't move and the children moved away. And then nobody in the road had children at all. And if people carry on doing that and they don't move... Then I look at the houses now, and the couple opposite are heading to 80. We're over 50. Lady next door, probably in her 70s now. There are a couple of houses where, you know, new couples have moved in. But generally speaking, around here, it seems to go in like cycles that people buy a house and then the majority stay put. And the demographic of the area becomes older. So if it was literally nobody above 50 could go out, that leaves about one house on the street. So what are they supposed to do? Do the shopping for everybody? It's just stupid. It is beyond stupid. If everybody had been as careful as we've been in terms of, well, you take the dog, and other than that, you do your shopping online. Admittedly, you know, if we desperately needed something, probably for Lola, we would probably go out, but, you know, we'd be mussed up to glory and we wouldn't go anywhere else. We wouldn't be going out for a meal or a drink. If everybody had just been as careful as that, probably be under control now. But now the rest of us are going to suffer for the ones who decided that having a rave and going dogging was a good idea. Apparently, dogging didn't happen last night. Police stopped them before it got that far, but it is. It's ludicrous. Won't be good for their mental health. Actually, Jonathan, I'm loving it, but I think I'm strange. Am I strange, Mike?
Yeah.
Fair enough. People are so overrated unless they're MacBiters. What can I say? Where's my people-y mug? It's far too people-y out there. I see the stupid things people do, like reach across to shake your hand, and it's like, really? Really? We're still at that? Because I think in their mind, which is why people are going mad over here, they're going mad because... You can go to the park, but you can't meet your own family in your own garden. But that's because strangers in the park, you're unlikely to forget and go and hug one of them. But, you know, your family, you don't conceive them to be a threat. And I think that's the government's thinking. It's the only thing that makes any sense. And you took a birthday gift round and the guy went across to shake your hand, didn't he? Mm. And his wife had to say, no, stop. People just forget. Like Prince Charles, do you remember that video at the beginning of lockdown? It was actually before lockdown. It's a week before lockdown. And Prince Charles had gone out somewhere. I mean, obviously, Prince Charles ended up with COVID. But that's a whole different story. Week before lockdown, he goes out and he gets out of a car. And he always has one hand in his jacket pocket. Always, because he said in an interview, well, you don't know what to do with it. So he always has one hand in his jacket pocket. The other hand, he reaches out to shake hands with this guy and then realises and pulls it back and starts laughing. Then he moves over and there's like a line of people waiting to sort of say hello. And three times he offers his hand before he realises, no, I'm not shaking hands today, am I? That's how automatic it is. It is totally ridiculous. Before they paused it, you were allowed to go out, so you could have walked the dog, but at the height of the pandemic, you're only allowed in the garden. You're still shielding. You come under Bradford. I think we've always been allowed to take the dog out. There was like, you can go for one walk a day. And some days, of course, you know, Mike's taking the dog twice, and I said, well, I won't go out, so you can have mine. Which I'm not sure if it's exactly how it works, but hey, worked for us. We've acted as if we're shielding, because it just seems to make sense. I mean, if you've got, and I've actually said this to Mike, you know, if you've got a big family, then great. I'm not saying that, you know, if something happened to one of you, you wouldn't be missed. But in our circumstances, we're all Lola's got. You know, there's no way Mike's mother could take Lola. She lives in a flat and they're not allowed animals. There's just, we're all Lola's got. So we're not going to risk it. On the basis, you know, and I certainly wouldn't want to spend the rest of my life without Mike. He might have eternal peace without me. I don't know. Let's put you on the spot, dear.
I'm saying nothing.
Oh, that's concerning. But we've just acted as if we're shielding. And I think if everybody had been that careful, we'd be in a better place now. People are so selfish. Look at all the people on the beaches at the weekend. You know, people were travelling from Birmingham to go to Bournemouth. What's the matter with these people? Okay, the weather was good, but do you know what? Sunshine's in Birmingham as well. You don't actually need to travel to a beach to enjoy it. But thousands and thousands did, to the point that the Coast Guard said they can't cope. So why they don't just shut the motorways, shut the roads? That would stop them. That's what stopped this rave. They decided, well, the dogging thing, whatever that was. If they'd have let them congregate, then it's too late. They can't safely disperse them, but stop them getting in the first place and you're okay. You could see if you had COVID not going out, but if you don't have it, who cares if you're just outside and social distancing? That would work. But people seem to just get so aggravated. So aggravated. Special tin tomatoes. I actually said to Mike, judging by what's going on in Melbourne with the food, I said, make sure that, you know, we got the basics in. Water, some tinned food just in case.
Toilet paper.
Definitely need toilet rolls. You know, just to be on the safe side, because it's looking like it's going to end that way. So you still get supermarket priority slots until the 31st of March or the end of the pandemic. I've got a sneaking suspicion, Anthony. The end of the pandemic will come well after the 31st of March. But, I mean, that's as it should be. As long as everybody gets an even chance with what's left, which sometimes I wonder if they do. We've got three supermarket things. So I've got an account with one. Mike's got an account with two. And we just kind of just keep going around the three and seeing what we can get from each one. You've been capturing data.
Yeah, I've just been to that site,
Jonathan. Oh, Jonathan. Thingy's here, though. Naturally, we'd be using more than usual because you would be at work.
Yeah, that's true.
So you have to bear that in mind now. There's two of us here.
Yeah, there is a downside to working from home.
It's offset by the petrol. Don't worry about it.
I can't use worse toilet paper.
Yeah.
I can't get free water.
No. Mind you, you're saving a fortune on the hot chocolate I didn't know about. Just saying.
True.
Came out in last week's Mac Bites, that. Using his watch.
Wasn't secret.
I consider it secret if I don't know about it, Mike, and I didn't know about it.
I don't
it.
Come home and say, hi, darling, how are you? I bought a hot chocolate today. What did you buy today, dear? I bought a hard drive.
You see all my purchases usually stacked to the ceiling in the porch, Mike. As you paid out, I thought that was a normal day, you said. I wasn't about to argue. Can I just say Amazon are coming three times today?
Are they?
I consider that their bad planning, but that's not the point. They did get my glasses to me at 3 o'clock. So you'll be glad to know I can actually see what you're typing again now.
And have they been
now.
Three times?
No, not yet.
Right.
But they are on the way. They have sent me a little billy-doo to say they are on their way.
So I better get more towels at the ready.
If loo paper was the last thing that was panic bought, what would be next? I wonder.
I think it's only a couple of quid, though, Anthony.
Where are we now?
I did read up on it. Well, I didn't read up on it deliberately. I caught it on a forum or something somewhere about tax relief from working from home.
I saw that. I mean, is this on like things like electric and stuff?
I guess so, yeah.
Because I'm actually thinking, I don't think for us it would make that much difference.
Probably not.
Although it is ridiculous when you leave the fan that's on your desk turned on when you go out.
This fan?
Mm.
You leave that fan on.
It's not on me, it's on the computer. It's not my fan, that's the computer fan. That's my fan, the big one.
Oh, the computer's got a fan of its own.
Well, if you don't want it to fall over, Either we leave...
It's spoiled like the dog.
Yes. Either we leave that fan on, right? Which, you know, you're thinking that could be an expensive business. Not as expensive as replacing the iMac.
True.
Plus the fact...
I'm leaving this on.
That's fine if it points it at the computer, but if it's pointing at your chair and you're not sat in it, what's the point?
There you go, it's pointing at the computer.
Oh, crying out loud. Domestic.
Yeah, domestic at Matt Bites headquarters.
So Kim's saying most cases are spread between family members. I guess that's just practicality, isn't it? That you're in close contact with them a lot. Rachel said she was glad she lived alone because, you know, but working as a nurse,
yeah,
that could be incredibly dicey. But I do agree with Jonathan. If the whole country had gone into lockdown and lockdown meant lockdown, we would have been done and dusted 6 weeks maximum. I said that to Mike today, instead of which we're 20 weeks in and you're back to where we started. In fact, we're worse now because we're in the shielded category now. There are three levels in the UK of calamity. There's we're keeping an eye on you. There's we're making suggestions to you. And there's where we are, which is don't move. So that's more stringent than it was before. We've also gone back from this stupid 1 metre plus to 2 metres. I don't think anybody observed the 1 metre plus, possibly church. But I still wouldn't know because we still haven't been and we still don't have live streaming from there. So we can't actually see what happens at a mass now to make our own judgment as to whether we would feel comfortable with that. So I've gone, you'll love this, mass surfing. And I said to Mike, just check St John's in Chalton. Now, the priest there was my gran's priest. And we went to her church for years and years. So I do remember the priest before him. That was Father Murphy. Don't ask, old fossil. But when this priest joined, he must have been probably about 35, but looked younger. He's still there now. And he's now heading to 90, running the parish by himself. So I said, yeah, quite fancy listening to his mass because it would take me back to being a child. He was the priest every week when I was a child. So we went, oh my word, they've got 1080p, live streaming, video on demand, you name it, it's fabulous. And today, talk about cool, he did a mass yesterday that was the one that was recorded. Put that out. Today, they're having a drive-in mass. And I just said that it's just so cool.
Stranded at the drive-in.
I don't know if he's doing big screen or what. But I would love to go just to see. Oh, a drive-in mass. That's fantastic. Trouble is, it's not our parish. And worse than that, it's not in our diocese. So we'd definitely be outsiders. But I reckon we'd be welcomed because he knows me because he knew Gran.
Yeah, he knows me because of...
Catoonians. Yeah, you did the thing twice.
Yeah.
That was unfortunate, that, actually, wasn't it? But it worked out well the second year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a funny story, that one. All right, let's catch up over here. You've got a box all packed for Kiva just in case. Isn't it sad? It's like, it's just so awful that you have to think of things like that. That's terrible. I must admit, we don't have a box like that packed, do we?
No.
There's dog food all over the house. Nina bought so much dog food for us, we can't move for dog food. And she's got her treats, and there's a bag. And obviously, we could get in touch with her first family, but they've not been well either. So, and her previous mum is a nurse. So, she's working in the midst of it all as well. And they all haven't been well. There's terrible things to have to think about. 25% of people who tested positive weren't at home. I mean, really? Oh my God. There are just no words. It's selfish. Totally, totally selfish. Work loo papers like printer paper. Dual purpose,
who
Jonathan.
That? I missed that.
Jonathan. Do you mean the tracing paper stuff like we used to have at school?
Well, we used to have that.
That should have been outlawed years ago. What it literally was, tracing paper, wasn't it? If you ran out of tracing paper, just go and get some from the toilet.
I've probably told this story before, but when I went to Wembley in 1983 to watch United in the cup final, I went on a coach and we stopped off at a service station and I went to the loo. And in those days, they had tracing paper in the loos as toilet roll.
It's
things have progressed now.
Yes, yes.
They do have proper toilet roll.
No, I agree with Jonathan, because at the very beginning of this, we just ordered what we could in terms of toilet paper. And some that came was from Morrison's, and there are two different versions. There was the Morrison's own one, and there was, is it the one with the C? Not Chanel.
It's downstairs.
Sham something. Which is
Chanel.
Really not. No, not Chanel. That's perfume. Don't mix the two up.
Chantel. Good evening, Stuart.
Hello, Stuart. Whatever it was, it was a much higher quality brand. Oh, the stuff that arrived. I said, is this really toilet paper? It was bad. You could read the paper through it.
I'll go and have a look.
Go and have a look what you ordered, Mike. Could go to the toilet roll fund. Exactly, Cushel. Anthony. Cushel it is.
Lola, I'm just checking the toilet roll. Right.
She's just looking at you like, are you for real, Dad? Charmin. We do have Charmin here. But no, this is Cushel.
Have you noticed how many times I've said I've probably told this story before? It's what 140 days of lockdown does to you.
Oh, yeah, but we've had 140 days of absolute hysteria.
True. Stuart, you'll remember tracing paper toilet roll, won't you, in the service stations?
No, surely Stuart brought his own or something. Better plan than you.
Oh, sure, it should have been in last night. We were talking about Smoggies and Geordies and Mackens.
Yes. Yes, I've got the link, actually. We said we'd share it with Stuart, but then we got sidetracked, didn't we, with by request. Let me see if my system works. Oh, it does. Yeah, it was Pete that sent us this, wasn't it?
It was.
Pete being a smoggy, I do believe. Right, got it. Got it. So there you go. Have a look at that. We're looking for a Z.
See, Stuart does remember.
We have to tell the same stories. We aren't getting out into any new ones. Oh, I got a classic one today from Peter, which was a comment that he'd put on the YouTube video from Friday night. And he was gone back to rewatch it, the presentation bit where I demonstrated the duplicate that works in PowerPoint and just does a plain copy in Keynote. And he had tested it, because like me, I was sure that was working at one point. He tested it, and guess what? The duplicate function in Keynote 09, that's not version 9, that's 09, 11 years old, the duplicate works perfectly. Version 10, released 3 weeks ago, doesn't work at all. That's Apple for you. And can you imagine? Steve Jobs must be spinning. Yeah. Attention to detail. But I don't. That is even worse than saying attention to detail. Because at one point it was working. So they've actually broken it and never fixed it.
I think ours did, Kim, as well. It was in individual squares.
We had two different types. There was one that was on a roll, and there was one that was in like a cardboard packet, yeah. And you pulled out like literally one square.
Square, yeah.
It should have been illegal. We should be able to sue for mental torment, you know. I remember my first school having stuff like that. And I remember going home to Mum and saying, Mum, the toilet paper's actually paper. And she said, what do you mean? I said, it's not soft, it's paper. You know what she did? You know my mother.
Take your own.
She said, here, take these. And it was a packet of tissues, you know, the tiny ones that yeah. you put in your pocket. She said, use those. Oh, yes. She gave me my own toilet paper. Oh, do you know what else she did? That has just reminded me. This we have never said before. You talk about the toilet paper, but do you remember the soap?
Well, those little bars of soap.
No. We didn't have bars of soap. We had what was called leaves of soap. No?
No.
It was like if you'd taken a bar of soap and run it through a meat slicer. You could read the paper through it. And you touched this stuff and it disintegrated. So again, I went, Mum, the soap's horrible. So I explained it. She said, here, take this. She actually went out and she bought not a standard bar of soap, obviously, because that would be massive. It was a piece of soap about an inch across. And it was an orange rose. And she said, when you've used it, just put it back in the bag. And I remember saying to her, because I didn't go to kindergarten, junior school or anything like that, infants. I started...
Because you were...
Reading a book.
Yeah.
I started, you know, as late as humanly possible. When they prized me out of Mum's claws and you had to go to school or that was that. And I had no idea, because for the first couple of days, you went for half a day. So lunchtime came on like the third day and I was off. When they said you stay in all day, I thought it was like prison. I thought, just a minute, what? I never agreed to this. I was absolutely horrified. So there was Mum. I actually, in the end, you know, I should have just complained about absolutely everything. And can I stay at home, Mum? Could you teach me, Mum? Because I didn't like the food. I didn't like the soap. The toilet paper was totally unusable.
You didn't like the teachers.
I didn't like the teachers. There was nothing I liked at school, Mike. Nothing. It should be made illegal.
Oh, well, Kim had that. Kim had leaves at school.
Yeah. Well, they came in some kind of funny packet. So it looked, if you can imagine, like dried soap. Because it wasn't, it would be very flaky, wouldn't it? This looked like a thicker piece of tracing paper. And it was only tiny, probably about an inch and a half square. But the second you touched it with wet hands, it just disintegrated.
Well, AZ now, I mean, I haven't been there for 4 months, but last time I was there...
Is the building still there? They could have sold it off.
No, because they made that returning to work video there a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. That laughable returning to work yeah. video. Can't leave Trafford, because if you do, we won't let you back in.
They had, at one point a couple of years ago, the toilet roll dispensers would only allow you to take two pieces out at a time. And people complained, so they put it back to how it was. But the hand dryers, they've got the proper air hand dryers where you just stick your hands under. But they've also got paper towel dispensers. But again, when you pull the paper towel out, it will only let you take two or three at a time.
Oh, God, no.
But that's not to do with costs. That's to do with sustainability, which they're very, very much into. I mean, all this, like, reuse your cups at the Costa, and if you bring your own cups, you get a discount and stuff like that. They're very much into saving the planet.
Well, the thing with those, the ones you're talking about, the paper towel dispensers, they've got one in Bramley Farm and they've also got one hand dryer. And the thing with the paper towel dispensers, they are wired like a one-armed bandit to give you one sheet. So you go over to it. Now, why are you taking a piece of paper tissue-y thing? Why do you need it? because your hands are wet. So you reach out, and it's only going to give you one, and you grab it, and you pull. And it immediately rips because your hands are wet. And you end up with a tiny piece of it in your hand and the rest of it stuck there with like a paw print taken out of it.
Well, what I do is when I go to our...
Take a screwdriver.
No, when I go to our Liverpool site, they've got two hand dryers next to each other.
So are they 2 metres apart?
No, they're right next to each other. So what I do, as long as I'm the only one in there, I stick one hand under each one. And that way my hands get dry quicker.
Ah! Oh, I'm liking that idea. You see, if they had two towel dispensers, you could use one hand on each and get two. One piece is not enough to dry your hands.
No.
No. And we should take my mother's approach. Like Kim says, she was always looking out for me. She was. Do you know
one piece isn't enough to do something else, according to that website of Jonathan's.
Probably not. Liquid soap, that's what was needed, Anthony. Liquid soap.
Oh, Stuart's only just come in and he's lowering the tone.
You get a raise if you just wipe your hands on your pants. That'll come next, Kim. Mind you, it's things like this. They must be saving an absolute fortune on stuff like that. If nobody's in...
I'm just thinking, Kim said pants, which means trousers in America. Stuart's probably taken that to mean underwear.
No, I think Stuart knows. Stuart knows. Oh, good grief. Are they returning from SpaceX tonight? I believe they are. They're splashing down somewhere, aren't they? Off the coast, south coast of America.
Splashdown.
Well, splashdown. It's like lockdown. Yeah. It's a wet version of lockdown. Sometimes there are just no words for all of this. I swear, it's ridiculous. Do you know what else Mum did? You'll love this one, Kim. We had these workbooks at school. You know, like reasoning? Did you have books on reasoning?
Similar, yeah.
So they would hand out these books. They had like 30 in the class and they'd hand them out and you'd work through them during the day. And then at the end of the class, they'd be handed in and they'd be marked. You didn't actually put the answers in the books. Right? The books were just like reference. You put the answers on your piece of paper. Well, I absolutely adored doing these reasoning things. I thought they were like puzzles. I thought it was great. So I said to Mum, you know, and she was like, how did you do today? And I said, oh, I got them all right, Mum. So she was like, you like doing these, don't you? I said, yeah. So it was coming up. Probably about Easter. So I'd done quite a few in the year, but we were working through this book. So we went into Manchester, and you know, in St Anne's Square, there's a bookshop, isn't there? It used to be called Sheraton Hughes, but I think, is it a Waterstones?
I think it's a Waterstones.
Because there's two Waterstones, isn't there? Well, when it was Sheraton Hughes, anyway, we went in, and they actually had these books, the same books that we had at school. Right? So she said, I'll buy you the book, and then you can work ahead. Which was quite logical, I thought. But there were two versions of the book. So there was one that was the teacher's version and it had the answers in it. And she said, you don't need that one. You can work them out for yourself. Basically, she was saying, and if you can't, I will. So she said, you don't need the teacher's version. So she bought me the one without the answers in. This is important. So I'm sat at home Saturday, Sunday, you know, and I've watched Swap Shop. Watched Swap Shop. And there I am doing these logic problems. Well, reasoning, we called them. So we get into class and I'm whipping through these things at an alarming rate, obviously, because I've already done them once at home. So we get to the end of this thing and this lad called Andrew was really peeved that I was faster than he was. Anyway, a couple of weeks went by and we do another session on this thing. So I'm like, I'm that far ahead in the book. But I am obviously doing the same ones everybody else is, even though I've already done them probably three times at home. So I whips through it again, 20 minutes and I'm done. This Andrew whips through it, 20 minutes and he was done. So I thought, somebody's up their game, haven't they? And he's sitting there looking so smug. And I thought, I'm not liking the smug look on his face. It was just as though, like, he knew he got more right than me. And I'm looking highly dubious at him. So she took the things in to mark them. Mine comes back 30 out of 30.
Yes!
His comes back nothing. Not marked. With a note right across it which says, "Tell your mother I need to see her tomorrow." And he was as white as a sheet at this point. So I thought, what's going on? Obviously, I'm about 8. I've no idea what's going on here. So I thought, how am I going to find out? How am I going to find out? You know, FOMO writ large. What had gone on? So I hangs about trying to fasten my shoelaces, take like 45 minutes. His mother comes in. I'm in the cloakroom, but I can hear everything that's going on. And I told my mum the night before and she said, what's going on? I don't know. So his mother came in and she sat the pair of them down and she said, I will not tolerate cheating in my class. And they both denied it. And I thought, is it cheating it if you've got the book at home? You know, like you are when you're 8. And I thought, no, because there's no answers in it. And that was when she revealed. She said, I know you have this book at home. Well, I nearly had a on the floor. I thought, oh, but mine's got no answers in it. But she said, and you've got the teacher's book and you've got the answers in it. They denied it. And she said, I know you have. She said, because there was a misprint in that one. She said, and the answers are wrong. She said, only the answers you've handed in are exactly the same as the wrong answers in the teacher's book. I thought, thank God, Mum got the one without the answers.
And without the misprint.
They both had to admit it then. Can you imagine teaching a kid to cheat aged 8? Oh, absolute classic. And when I got home and I told my mum, she said that that'd be an abject lesson to you. Don't cheat. Oh, God, loved it. He never lived that down. Definitely never lived that down. They've left the chat active. I've no idea, Jonathan. No idea. You weren't very competitive with you. Oh, Kim, yes. Yes, I was. No, actually, I wasn't competitive with other people. I was competitive with me. I always wanted, if I was doing something, I wanted it to be better next time or, you know, go faster next time. And I did really, truly love doing the reasoning problems. They were the kind of thing, a lot involved maths. Math to you, obviously. We stick an S on it. But more logical than that. So it was like, you know, if person A sets off and heads north and person B heads off and heads south and one's walking at one rate and one's walking at another, then when will they meet in the middle? That kind of thing. I loved those. I absolutely loved them. Another time that came in was when we moved house. So we moved from Furswood, which is about 3 miles, probably 2-3 miles from Old Trafford Stadium, to the middle of nowhere, literally the middle of nowhere, 23 miles from civilization. And that was when I was 9. So when we moved back to where there is civilization, which is where we are now, I was 12. Now we switched schools aged 11. So I'd missed the what they call the intake for year one, which would be your year 7. But back then was year 1 for us. So the council arranged that I was going to have to sit an entrance exam. So even though I was already at a grammar school, I then had to sit an entrance exam to get into a grammar school. So that happened, I think it was the third week in August. But you'd broken up from school the second week in July. And we were moving house, so we moved in with my grandparents for 2 weeks because the completion date was off by 2 weeks. So during this holiday, I had no friends near where we were staying with my gran and granddad. So literally, all I had to do, Mike, was read a book. So I said to Mum, is there any more of those logic, those reasoning test things? Because that was what was going to be on the entrance exam. So she said, probably, shall we go out on Saturday and have a look? So we went back to Sheraton Hughes again, always smiling as I go through the door, thinking, don't cheat like Andrew. And bought probably about 8 of these books. And all day, every day, and half the night at my grandparents', I would sit there and I would work through these puzzles, as far as I was concerned, but reasoning tests. I also did maths ones, English ones, you name it. So when it came to the exam, I think it was penned for 3 hours. It was three papers of 3 hours, I think, and you could just start the next one whenever. So Mum had taken with her a book to read. I don't think it was Gone with the Wind. She had that on permanent read. It was a Sherlock Holmes she'd taken with her. And she said, you know, I might be able to make a big impact on this in 3 hours. So she sat down. So I disappeared off, and I think I was back in about less than 40 minutes. And she was like, is there something wrong? Do you need something? I said, no, I've finished. And she said, do you not think you should have stayed and had a second look, made sure you were right? And I said, oh, come on, Mum. I've been prepping for this exam for the last 2 months. And yes, I passed it. But what a farce. What a farce. I loved it. I love challenges. You know I do. You know now I found something that's broken in Keynote. So I'm working on a workaround. I need a workaround, preferably for next week, so I can share it with you. See, the reasoning tests that I did had total value. Now, boring stuff like geography, never understood that, did you?
Geography?
It wasn't bad when we did Australia as a continent. That was interesting. But then it went on to weird stuff like the weather.
Oh, we did the weather, cumulus clouds and yeah. All that.
I mean, why? It's geography. I know where the clouds are. They're up in the sky.
It was a different kind of cloud in those days.
It was, but that's not the point. Oh, right. What is Anthony saying? I was at uni. We had this girl called Bin Lady. She'd be poking around in the recycle bins at the end of the computer labs. One day she asked me for help with the programming. I was looking at her work and thinking, a lot of this is familiar. I realised it's one of the prints I'd thrown out. This, you know, if people like that put as much energy and effort into doing their own work, then the whole world would be a better place. Kim was bored in primary school a lot. Tell me about it. When they give us a standardised test, when they were giving the instructions, you'd memorise the answers and mark the paper after the start. This is what they taught us. I was bored. I really was bored. And what the teacher used to do, I won't say she didn't like me, but she clearly didn't like me. No, actually, she didn't like me. And there was a reason, but I was too naive to know back then. I now know why she didn't like me. My mum had to tell me. She had a thing against Catholics, and this wasn't a Catholic school. There were only two Catholics in the class, and we were like the unclean to her. So on a Tuesday, she could get rid of us. It was like Tuesday afternoon was kind of not you could do what you want, but you could be put though you would be put into different groups and do smaller things. And one of these groups, I think there was four of us, would be sent next door to the next class, which was a class down from us. So they were like 1 year younger. And she just every week I got sent out into that group. But what was fantastic about it, looking back now, was when the teacher in the other classroom had to take the extra four students, what she'd do, she would have the children do these reasoning tests, the ones that I'd been prepping for years. So I'm, and the four who went in this thing, you were on four separate tables. But she didn't mind you chatting and stuff. So I'm sat there with not much to do, and these kids have got to do these reasoning tests. They were clueless with them. I'm sitting there watching them thinking, God, are these... we don't use this word now, but back then this is what I thought. Are they retarded? They were really struggling with these things. So I said, well, you know, the answer's four. And it was like, I don't understand. So I started explaining why the answer was four. And then we go on to the next question and they were just as clueless with that. But rather than just give them the answer, I explained why. And what I hadn't known at that point was this table that they put me on, they were the dunces' table. And she put them all together and she ignored them. She didn't help them at all. The teacher just deemed them to be too stupid and she put them together. Well, I'd been going in and out probably for about 5 months. And then there was the big test at the end of the year and this table aced it. And she never did understand why. They'd had one-on-one tuition from me, who was way ahead. Not only was I a full year ahead, but, you know, I'd done loads of these things. And I didn't just give them the answers. I explained it and then made them think. and they came out on top. I don't think I was ever forgiven for that one. But hey, I don't care. It helped me learn to teach, and I was about 8 or 9. Primary school was hideous. It really was hideous. Ooh, what's Stuart here? Another in my science class accused of cheating until we pointed out the teachers. Our answers were based on what would be featured on Tomorrow's World the night before. That is so true, Stuart. I had teachers, not a clue. I was so determined to prove. You know, like when you say to your parents, I'm not going to get a very good report on that subject, but it's not my fault because fill in the answer, you know, fill in the blank. This particular time was science, and I'd done a very different curriculum in year one. But I'd really tried to catch up by saying to the teacher, well, look, this is the binder I had last year, and this is the work that I did. Can you tell me what I need to do to catch up? So I wasn't being like awkward and just saying, well, yeah, I don't know. I attempted to sort this out. So I handed this piece of work in, and I got a terrible mark for it, and I felt it was unfair. So I got talking to this other girl, and this other girl, talk about teacher's pet. You know, there's always one in a class that's like perfectly turned out and perfectly this and perfectly that, and everybody loves them, that one. But she was a really nice girl. So I got talking to her and I said, it wouldn't matter if I handed in your work, I'd still get rubbish grade. And she said, oh, I don't think she's that unfair. And I said, right, fair enough. Let's work on it together and hand in the same work. I said, but what we'll do is we'll put like one at the top of the pile and one at the bottom, and she'll never know that they're absolutely identical. That's what we'll do, she said. So we did. So we worked on it together. We handed in identical work. Identical. The only difference was it was separated by about 15 other books. So she took all the books in and she disappeared off. And when she came back, she handed them out. And this girl, who was called Alison, was at one end of the table. And the thing was, we weren't, as far as she knew, we weren't actually mates, because we never sat together. But we lived quite close. So she never twigged. If it was going to be, you know, two handing in exactly the same work, it had been friends. And as far as she knew, we weren't. So she's at the far end of this lab bench and I'm at the other. And she's sitting there and she's trying to indicate what she'd got. So she holds up 8 fingers. So she'd got 80%, which is more than enough to pass. I sat at the other end of it and I held up 2 fingers and she starts laughing, thinking I'm giving her the V's. And I'm shaking my head going like, no, 20%. So she gave this girl 80% for exactly the same work as mine. And, you know, parents' evening's coming up and you're thinking to yourself, I need to tell Mum something. So I remember coming home from school and she said, you all right? I said, no. So she said, what? So I said, you know, science teacher hates me. And she's like, no, teachers are like that. I said, no, mother, really? So I told her what we'd done. And she was like, leave it to me at parents' evening. And I thought, oh dear, rather her than me. This teacher lived quite close as well, you know. And she ended up, I saw her again after I'd left about 18 months later. She was in a neck brace, a neck brace around her neck with a, I think it's a truss actually, isn't it? With a metal pole down the back and it wrapped around her waist as well. And I thought, that's a shame, isn't it? Such sympathy. None at all. When you were at secondary school doing homework, you had an Amstrad PCW, or remember those. It got to the stage, ended up as an unofficial teaching assistant. That's what happens. I swear children could teach themselves and their colleagues better. It's like a collaborative thing. The kids that I was teaching that were considered to be like the dunces, they were treated like idiots, so why would they try? But when it was me, it was like fun with like, no, I'm not telling you the answer, but let's have a think about it. You know, and we were talking about cutting oranges up. And like, you know, when it was like in distances, well, imagine it's on the sports field. And you try harder and it's fun. They enjoy it. They learn better. Exactly the same thing happened many years later. I was in the lowest English group. And we got this teacher, a new teacher joined the school. And I now know, but obviously I didn't know back then. Now I know how companies work and stuff. This is going to work the same way. the new teacher joins, and what kind of children does the new teacher get? The imbeciles. That was me, the English group. And she did. She got the lowest English group. All of us were bad. 30 in the class. None of us were any good at English whatsoever. I mean, we could probably string a sentence together, but English literature, not your strongest point, was it?
No.
No. So we did English language and English literature, and we were bad at both of them. She took over in what would be... Oh, I'm no good with these American things. 11, 4, 16. Year 14, I think. I'm confused. It was our... I'd have been 15. So I was 15, whatever that is. And she took over, you know, new teacher. She was really fair. That was the one thing that I always thought with her. She was really fair. If you'd not done your homework, she wouldn't, you know, start screaming. She'd sit you down and say, why not? And then give you more time if she felt that that was legitimate. I only ever needed that once. And my homework was always in on time. It was rubbish, but it was in on time. And this particular day, I get into class, and it was only when I got into class I'd forgotten. I realised I'd forgotten to do it. So I'm sat there thinking, oh dear, in more flowery language. So she meanders round, and she stands in front of me and holds her hand out. And I said, I'm sorry, I've not done it. And she said, OK, just see me at the end. And I thought, oh dear. And I really didn't want to tell her why I hadn't done it. But there was a reason that I hadn't done it. But the thing was, there was a reason behind it. But the fact I'd not done it, you know, maybe I could have caught up at morning break. I'd totally forgotten that I hadn't done it. But there was a reason. So I wait till the end of the lesson, and then I sidles over to her. And she said, you know, come on, sit down. I said, right, what's the problem? You know, why didn't you do it? And I looked and I thought, I really don't want to get into explaining why I've not done it, because I'm going to cry. So I managed without too much histrionics to just say, my granddad died last night. And it was a shock. He was supposed to be coming home. That's what the doctors said. Never trust a quack. So he very suddenly died. My dad had taken my mum, my grandmother, to the hospital to see him because, you know, he was basically packing his suitcase to come home, according to the doctor. When she gets there, he's either dead or dying. She was absolutely bowled over, but so was my dad because it was pre-mobile phones and stuff. He couldn't tell mum. So he brings my grandmother from the hospital. She'd been at her house. She'd been taken to the hospital, and he had to bring her back to our house. But somebody's knocking on the door, and mum's like, don't answer it, you know, because we know dad's at the hospital. So I'm there trying to look out the window. So I'm out the upstairs bedroom window, literally climbed across the desk next to the wardrobe, leaning out. And I looked, I thought, it's dad. So I'm like, psst, dad, dad. And he said, come and let me in. So I had to go downstairs and said, it's all right, mum, it's dad. So I lets him in, and he flies through the house, says, just stay there. And he has to go in and tell mum that her dad had died really unexpectedly. So my English homework was the last thing on my mind. We then had to get Gran in the house, who was just in pieces, totally in pieces. I think she even stayed the night. It was a miracle I got to school the next day. So when I managed to explain, you know, my granddad died, she was absolutely brilliant. She said, don't even give it a second thought. So I said, no, I'll do it tonight. She said, no, you won't. Leave it. Don't worry about it. And I thought she was a brilliant, brilliant teacher. When we got into the last year, we'd done rather well, our group, at the halfway point, which is between what would be our year four and five. So we're halfway through this two-year O-level course. And we all have to sit these exams. Our group came top. Well, that was thanks to her. Totally thanks to her. Then what the teachers decided to do was that she would be put in charge of what had been the top group. And the bottom group would be swapped. Now, that's just not on. She thought exactly the same, and she told them straight. She had taken us on at the beginning of our O-level course, and she was sticking with us till the end. And they could stick there, take the top group. She wasn't moving, which we thought was great. And because we felt she'd supported us, we worked 10 times as hard. And in that last year, she used to give up her lunch hour 3 days a week and take different groups from the thing. So if you were struggling or you had some questions, she would give you extra lessons, and she did that 3 days a week. When it came to the final exam, it was one of the years it was really difficult, apparently. And we all sat it, and to go on to your A-levels, you needed, I don't know what you needed, but we needed English language, English literature and maths.
I think it was the same.
So she was obviously taking us for two of those subjects. Well, apparently it was a really difficult paper that year. And when the results came out, this formerly top group, 80% of them had failed, totally failed. It was like unheard of. Whereas what had started off as the bottom group, we all passed. She got everybody through. But that's because she was a good teacher. Nothing to do with all of the shenanigans that went on. She was a wonderful, wonderful teacher. Let me see what's going on here. Why isn't this scrolling? Right, there we go. Kim can't do English either. Can't spell. He always marks you down. Love to read, but the papers were a mess with spellings. I wasn't good at spelling when I joined the school when I was 12. I always remember them giving us like spelling tests. And one of the words I remember was secretary. And to me, it was like, why are you teaching girls? Because it was an all-girls school. You know, jobs. We'll do jobs today. Number one, secretary. Number two, cleaner. Number three, shop assistant. And I'm like, I want to be a lawyer. And I can spell that. But, you know, I felt the words were kind of brainwashing you in a way, really. I improved with time, but I certainly wasn't good at the beginning, no. Poor hand-to-eye coordination, find writing difficult. Do you know, I don't think I could now, Anthony. I do have my two notebooks, but my handwriting is abysmal. It really is. And the one thing I found really difficult about exams was when you have to write solidly for 3 hours. Your hand just totally aches, and I've never really got beyond that. I'd be quite happy to type for 3 hours, but not write for 3 hours, no. So my handwriting was, they told my mother, gave them cause for concern. Oh. One of Stuart's teachers did an experiment with a multiple choice. So one lad who wasn't interested in learning should just tick an answer at random, didn't even read the question, did it in 5 minutes. There was an episode of New Tricks. Has anybody seen New Tricks? It's a BBC series based around retired police. And it was very politically incorrect, but hysterical. And there was this bit in it where they've got to take this test, and they were all thinking it was kind of a trick thing. That one was like, you find some money, what would you do with it? And psychometric tests, they were. So they were really suspicious about, you know, what would they say about me if I say answer B? But one of them's just had enough. He's got some other problem on. I think it was the James Bolam character. And he looks at this thing and he just goes, and just guesses like that. And he did absolutely brilliant. I got 75%. Love it. Multiple choice like that. I mean, I guess they're just assuming it would be accurate-ish. That there'd have to be a margin for error, wouldn't there? Where you have guessed, but that it would be accurate enough. But you do wonder. Yes, cause for concern. Yeah, it's the way they word things, isn't it? So condescending and patronising. And a little bit after that, probably, I'm trying to think now, I'd have been 22, so probably about 6 years after I left. But they knew me for the next 2 years, because I was very, I still lived in the same place. My college was very close, and we had to go back to pick our certificates up. So all the teachers that were there, probably up to 4 years before, were the same teachers. And I met one of them, and age 22, so think about this. By this stage, I'd finished college, I'd got my A-levels, and I'd gone to the University of London to read law. But in the middle of my first degree, I didn't actually do this. It was an entrance exam for Oxford, and it was a written piece that you had to do. And I'd done the essay, And it was only when they got, when I got it back from the University of London, that they said, oh, by the way, we've submitted it to the Oxford thing. And I said, what for? It was mine. And I had no idea at that point. So it was submitted to them and I got in. So age 22 in the summer, there I am like, oh my God, I'm heading off to Oxford in the autumn. So I met one of these teachers, not the nice English one, one of the other idiots. And it was like, oh, and what are you doing now? So I said, I'm going to Oxford in the autumn. And she just looked at me and said, oh, has your husband got a job there or something? And I'm thinking, my what? Not even a boyfriend yet. Me what? I said, and I looked at her and I said, no. So she said, well, what do you mean then? So I said, I'm going to Oxford University to read law in October. And she, I think she needed medical treatment. I think she thought I'd left and got a job at Woolworths. I'll admit at school I wasn't good, but I did improve when I was doing my A-levels. That I think is where my spelling improved. In fact, that's when everything improved, because I went to a local sixth form college, and I don't know what it's like in the States, but a sixth form college here, you were still at school, weren't you? You did sixth form at school. A sixth form college, they don't baby you like they do at school. You're pretty much like, you know, you're an adult now and you're going to have to look after yourself. So you've got to book your own exams and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, I've been used to doing that for years, years and years. Her attitude was just hysterical. Totally hysterical. So I know she probably had in her mind a vision of me at 16. But obviously, even at 16, I got all the exams I needed to go on to A-levels. And I just then considered university was a natural extension of that. Although I do remember having a stand-up scrap with my mother, age 16, when she was saying, so you're doing your A-levels now. And there she is, like, stroking the entrance book for universities. And I'm like, I am not going to university. I was determined I wasn't. And then about halfway through my first year in that, so I was probably coming up to age 17, I remember saying to her, I think I'll have a look at universities. And by this stage, she'd taken the approach of like, slowly, slowly, let her get there on her own, but it'll be my idea when she does. But do remember this, I am not going to university. And yet there I was, in the end, for 6 years. I tend to learn better alone. Let's just say that. That is such a good point, Anthony. I've always said that. People are there because they want to learn. And I very much felt when I left school, that was my number one reason. I thought if somebody aged 16 to 18 doesn't want to learn, they're not going to be at college. Now, to be honest, there were a few who were, but you're right, at school it's like an assembly line, isn't it? And the teachers all had their favourites. And if you didn't fall into like their favourites, school was purgatory. That is spot on, Anthony. When it hit me most was when I got to university, because I ended up at University of London, but I don't know if you know, but a lot of universities are just the university. So the University of Manchester is the University of Manchester, and that's it. But Oxford, Cambridge and London have independent colleges. So although you would say I'm at Oxford University, it would actually be something like University College, Oxford, or Corpus Christi, Oxford. So London did the same. But the difference with London was you could go to a private college if you wanted. And I figured at that point, you know, if you're going to pay, then they definitely will want to work. There won't be any exceptions to that. And pretty much it was. It really was. And instead of it being them and us, the teachers were the same as you. You know, your lecturers, you'd go into the coffee bar together. And there was none of this, you know, form room teachers and all of that. It was very much, again, collaborative learning, and we loved it. Some people, you know, really thrived at school. There was a girl at school, she was brilliant. She came out in 9 A's. But practically, she was the one who couldn't speak French when we went to France, and yet she got an A. I always wonder about that. I got a U. I'm not even sure if U for French is actually a grade.
I got a U in English Lit.
At least mine was a foreign language that I got a U in.
English literature is foreign to me.
I actually loved English literature. I loathed one of the books, Midsummer Night's Dream. I really did not like Midsummer Night's Dream. But I loved some of the poems, and I loved the books that we got. Although I would have preferred the one that you had. You had Arthur Miller. I don't know how you could fail on that.
Well, I did. You means unclassified. Oh, as Anthony's beaten me to
yes,
it.
Yes, unclassified.
So you have grades A to E, which obviously...
No, you don't.
A
you have an F.
Is there an F?
Yeah, A to F, and then a U.
Yeah.
So F means you've failed, but U means you're that bad we're not prepared to classify it. U's like you are stupid. Oh, did you want to get any U's, Stuart? I wouldn't have thought so. I did. Not too proud to admit that. No, my French was literally appalling. But again, practicalities. Did I manage to hold a conversation with the French team who spoke no English?
Yeah.
Yes. So it was fine. You can do a lot with pointing and drawing pictures.
Did I understand all my sons?
Yes, you did.
There we go.
Exactly. To be honest, it was the teaching. It was the teaching. We had a good teacher for French, but again, she'd got the bottom group and she did what she could, but we were petrified of her. She, looking back, she was a good teacher, but we were petrified of her. She didn't create that sense of community that the English teacher did. And if she had, could have come out with an A in that as well. It was, oh, you don't have E's. Oh dear. I go lower than an E. But it's like Mike says. I mean, I know you didn't enjoy Hamlet, but all the other plays we've been to, you've loved them.
Mm.
It wasn't a case of like, oh, God, she's dragging me back to when I got a U in English Lit. You even watched Midsummer Night's Dream and loved it.
I did.
That was a really good production, to be honest. And then me, who passed, I loathed Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
I didn't.
It was hideous. If I never see that again, it'll be too soon. No, I couldn't. So I couldn't sit through that again. But that's probably about the only one. I enjoyed Hamlet. It just goes to show, doesn't it? Because I sure didn't at school. Maybe I should have moved to the States. Do you have unclassified over there, Kim? Because if not, the worst I could have done was a D. Which I'd have been quite happy with, to be honest.
Two grades higher than what you got.
Exactly. Oh, God, when it came through, my mum said... So was it an E in French? And I went, sorry, Mum, it was worse than that. And she said, I didn't think there was anything worse than that. And I said, maybe they put it in just for me. She was fairly cool and laid back about
it. Oh, they have an F for failed.
Oh, you do have an F. Oh. Well, we have to have one lower than that for people like Mike and I. Thing was, once I'd left school, it was insane. I got my O-levels when I left school, but once I'd left school... I did. If you stay on at school like Mike did for sixth form, you probably didn't do O-levels in the subject halfway because some of them you would already have done.
Mm.
But if you're taking four new subjects like I was, then you can choose to do the O-levels halfway. And it's kind of like, you know, you've got an exam to prepare for and it gets it in your head. So I took those. That was... I told you the story about me and that lad that we came top, joint top. And then it was like, well, what did you get? What did I get? After I left school, I don't think I got less than an A for anything, which was partly I was studying subjects that I really enjoyed, and partly the fact that they did leave you to your own devices to decide how you wanted to study them. And then you get onto university, and although you've got lectures and although you've got seminars, they're kind of, again, you're left to your own devices and you create your own study groups and stuff. Oh, you might have incomplete. Oh, I completed it all right, Kim. All incorrectly, apparently. But it was complete. I didn't worry about French. There was no point. There really was no point. I was just shockingly bad at it. But if you ask Eric Cantona, I speak perfect French. The last time we saw him, we've seen him twice at the Lowry. And the last time, I thanked him very much for coming. And he looked at me and he replied. I spoke to him in French and he spoke to me in English. And the thing is, you ask people, Eric speaks perfect English, but he would never admit that. He actually he demanded he had an interpreter. But there was this interview. Do you remember the interview when he had that cast on his arm?
Mm-hmm.
This is how the interview went. There was it was supposed to be like a fly on the wall documentary. So you've got Eric Cantona sat next to his interpreter, who was called George. And opposite, you've got Alex Ferguson, who was the manager, and Jim McGregor, who was the physiotherapist at the time. And Eric's meandering round with this cast on his arm, and it had been on his arm for about 6 weeks. So they're having a conversation, right, that the interpreter is interpreting about whether it's time for this cast to come off. So I think the physio had said to the manager, you know, in his opinion, whatever, and the interpreter passed that on to Eric in French, who then said, spoke back to the interpreter in French, who then spoke back to the manager and the physio. So you're getting the idea for how this is going. And then the manager said, well, I think it should come off Sunday. And before the interpreter said a word, Eric said, no, it isn't. And my mum, who was a huge Eric fan, just she's rolling about, and she said, did you notice the interpreter didn't get a chance to interpret that? Eric understands perfect English, but he chooses to speak French. His brother, however, only speaks French. And I was having a conversation with him the best I could. And he was understanding it. And Eric was looking over and watching as though he appreciated the fact. You know, everyone was milling around him. His brother was stood on his own, so I'm talking to his brother. And he appreciated that. So I speak to him in French and he speaks back in English. Do you remember when he signed that ticket?
Yeah.
We were sat at the match, and obviously we sit next to the bench, and he was a substitute. And I'd got a ticket for the match, and his interpreter sat between the two of us. And I knew his interpreter. I've known him for... Actually, he wasn't his interpreter, was he? He hijacked him. Mm-hmm. He was Andrei Konchelskis' interpreter as well. He spoke Russian. So he was teaching me Russian. Every week we learnt a new Russian word as he passed us. So this particular day, he sat... I'm on the right, he's in the middle, Eric's on the left. And I thought, I wonder if Eric would sign this ticket. So I said to George, you know, do you think Eric's in a good enough mood to sign this ticket? So he said, I'm sure he is for you. So we wandered off across to Eric with the pen and the ticket, and Eric looked across and I kind of like waved and he signed it. That's unusual for Eric. If he's not in the mood to sign, he's not signing. So he signed it, and when he brought it back, I shouted across, thank you very much in French. And he turned around and looked, and he had a look, didn't he, Eric, where he kind of took his head back and then like nodded, but very regal. You knew if you got that nod, he was pleased. So, yeah, that was very funny. So I'm quite happy. I know enough French to get by. But if you want proper syntactical French with the Stravendamp verbs, I'm not your woman. Just saying. Nowhere near your woman. But, you know, it's not hampered me. It's like not being able to climb a rope, which I could never do either. Mm. That hasn't hampered me much either. Oh, they say school days are the happiest of your life. Trust me, they weren't for me. I'm happier in lockdown than I was at school. This is why I don't understand these kids going back to school. I swear these kids will be doing almost as well, if not better. Some will be thriving with this. That they're not at school, they're not being bullied, they're not having teachers with their teachers' pets. For some, it will be amazing. But others, you know, the ones who are the bullies, they're going to need an audience, aren't they? So they're probably feeling really bad. But we're not feeling really bad. We are going in tomorrow to week 21. Yes, we have another week of Marooned. Shall we review Marooned weekly, Mike, or just say, yeah, see you Christmas?
Yeah.
I think we might be doing that at this rate. I know Jonathan's gone because he's probably talking to Mummy and Daddy Isaacs. That's always a good point to mention 129 then, isn't it? Don't get excited. But I'm wondering, at the beginning when we started Marooned, it was like, I wonder if we'll get to like 3 weeks. And then I wonder if we'll get to 4 weeks. I remember Jonathan saying, wouldn't it be absolutely amazing if there were as many Maroons as After Hours? And obviously we passed that weeks ago. And then it was, wouldn't it be amazing if you reached the same as MacBites? And we're past that now as well. So I'm not sure when Jonathan's next wouldn't it be amazing is. But looking at the state we're in and what's happening and the lockdown quarantine shielding affair and then the vaccine. And I said to Mike today, wouldn't it be amazing if it went on for a year? we'll see. We'll see. So, yes, it's week 21 for us tomorrow and week 23 for Kim. Thought it'd be over in 6 weeks. You were wrong. Yes, we shall be having a first anniversary edition. The first of many at this rate, Stuart. Unbelievable, isn't it? I can't believe we are one of the few places in the country that are now in a stricter lockdown than we were before. You know, I would have thought it makes no sense in a way that it's not London, because London, there's lots more people and they kind of live closer together. You know, there's green spaces in London in terms of parks, but, you know, there's your hulking tower blocks full of people that you can't avoid contact if you're going in and out. And yet, they're not in the lockdown we are. I don't understand it, but there you go. Be careful what we wish for. Exactly. Absolutely. We make our first anniversary. It's going to be the biggest party ever. When would it be, Mike? It'd be a Tuesday. Obviously, we've got Christmas to do
first.
What
date was it?
What date was it?
16th of March.
The 16th of March. Yes, it's still me. Don't log me out when I'm trying to look at my calendar. Come on.
Tuesday.
Yeah, that would make sense, wouldn't it? Be a Tuesday. And the other thing that Mike mentioned, and he has got a point, got to admit, he has got a point, would be Christmas Day. Would we do a show on Christmas Day, which is a Friday? I don't see why not. We wouldn't be doing anything else if we were in lockdown, would we? And now your R8's going up. Oh, tell me about it. I feel your pain, but then there's all those protesters, isn't there? That's not good. So that's got to have an impact on it. Mind you, was there any dogging involved, Kim? Tell us these things, we need to know. Well, whatever happens in the future, there'll be a marooned every day next week. Can't say fairer than that. And, of course, an after hours on Friday and a by request on Saturday. And we'll think of a theme. We have to get trickier with these themes, aren't we? We'll think of a theme and we'll let you know. You didn't have any dogging. I'll send pictures of ours, Kim, when it happens, because doubtless they'll outwit the police and there'll be something to share. Can look forward to that one. In the meanwhile, you can always have a meeting owl. I don't think Stuart saw the meeting owl, did you? I'll put the link in if you miss the meeting owl. This is the meeting owl. You know, for all those video conferencing. It's not cheap, and to be honest, put the willies right up me, I can assure you. I could not sit and look at that on the desk.
That's
Did you see
scary,
the meeting
isn't
owl?
It's
terrifying. I think Anthony read the thing on it and it said, the eyes follow you. Exactly, it's terrifying. I know there's those starfish ones, isn't
quit.
That's what Jonathan said. That's what Jonathan said. Oh, I nearly forgot the most important thing of the week. And this will affect Stuart as well. We have been 20 weeks, obviously, in lockdown. Guess what's happening tomorrow? Well, this week. It'll be Tuesday for us. Probably tomorrow for Stuart. They're finally going to empty the green bins. They've only been stagnating there for the last 20 weeks.
They've been emptying them.
If and when they feel like it.
Once every 3 weeks.
If and when they feel like it. Yeah. How many they missed? They missed the first two for a start. So whatever's in the green bin, they're coming through. Apparently, Stuart, I think it might. It's scary. Just imagine that sat on your desk looking at you. I made the point, though, Stuart. I work nights, so it's very dark. So if I glanced around and saw that, well, I would need a new office chair. I'd probably have to put a commode in just in case. Just saying. But for today, we will leave you with the thought of the owl. Who remembers Twin Peaks? You didn't watch Twin Peaks,
no.
Did you? All a bit weird for Mike. There was a thing in Twin Peaks. The owls are not what they seem. And with that one, I totally agree. I'm going to have to read up on it more, but no, it's terrifying. Don't like that. A few programmes about dogs and their demand on software suggests you might need to watch Dog and Tail. Don't think they've quite got that, have they? This is the trouble with AI. Oh, you live by the waterfalls. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yeah, do be careful what you Google. Can you imagine what Amazon are recommending that I might be interested in after the Lady Pipes fiasco? Oh. And the waterfalls on the newsletters, one from Twin Peaks. I'm going to have a closer look at that now, Kim. I love Twin Peaks. It was so weird. It was wonderful. And it was one of those programmes. I found it unusual that my mum loved it. But she, I mean, obviously she knew it was weird, although she did quite have a thing for him and the cherry pie. What was his name? Cal McLaughlin?
Yeah.
Yeah, she quite liked him. But she said, oh, you know, I'm watching this. And she puts it on, and my dad was like, what's going on? To him, it was just utter garbage. He could not follow it. And me and her are going, but Dad, the owls are not what they seem. And he thought the pair of us were barking crazy. But we love winding him up. Oh, you didn't see it? Oh, no. Have you seen it since? It was fantastic music. It was a wonderful series, I thought. I know it was a bit off the wall, but there were things in it that were just so, so cool. I think it's on our Now TV on demand. I'm not sure if it's on Prime. But I don't know how well it would have dated Kim. But at the time, you know, it was the thing to watch. It really was the thing to watch. And Mum and I loved it. Oh, the log lady as well. There was the log lady. She just walked about nursing a log. And then he would go in this coffee bar place or a diner. And the first time he went, she's like, what do you want? And he said, what would you recommend? And she said, we do damn fine cherry pie. And it became known as damn fine cherry pie after that. And Mum adored cherry pie. So this thing with Mum and I went on for years. And every time it did, Dad would roll his eyes. Never understood that programme. It was so quirky. It was good. It was good. Yes, hope you're feeling better, Kim. Hope you had a rest. We've got two songs of yours we were going to play, but we bumped them to next week so you don't miss them. We didn't want you to miss them. We didn't go out to Freebird. We went out to Story of the Blues. Glad you're feeling better. Well, we're going to head off. I'm thinking ice cream's a good idea.
I'm taking Lola out.
I'll wait for the ice cream then. Mm-hmm. I'll look after the house just in case, you know. You do see a lot of references to it, and it is very quirky, but you know, it's funny. It's worth a watch. It's worth a watch. You're going to either love it or hate it, to be honest. But we loved it. Dad never understood it, and Mike was in that camp. But we're going anyway. We're heading off, and we will see you tomorrow. But for the moment, good night from me.
Good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.